5th chapter, Exodus chapter 5, and we're going to look together at verse number 1, and we'll kind of just give a preview of what we looked at last time. A couple of weeks ago, I believe last week, we were canceled because of the weather, and so I'll give you just a little preview here of the last couple of weeks, and then we'll get into our message, our Bible study tonight. We looked at last week, two weeks ago, their meeting, and this is between Aaron, Moses, and Pharaoh. And so the Bible says in Exodus chapter 5 and verse number 1, it says, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel." And I said we want to highlight that phrase, "thus saith the Lord God." It's important for our study as we go through this. The Bible says, "Let my people go." Probably one of the most popular expressions in the book of Exodus. We say, let my people go. That they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And so Moses and Aaron, we learned a couple of weeks ago, they do exactly what God commanded them to do. And they speak, "thus saith the Lord," not their own opinions. This is what God said. This is the authority that we come in, is the authority of God. "Thus saith the Lord." And so we notice also their tone. They're respectful. They are polite. But they're also God-centered in their appearance here. We see in this passage that they wanted to exit, the Exodus, so that they could worship God. And again, I mentioned it's the best reason for political freedom is for worship of God. And we looked at 1 Timothy chapter 2 a couple of weeks ago, where the Bible teaches us that we are to pray for all men, and that we are to pray that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. And so the Bible teaches us that our prayers ought to be for those who are in authority, for their salvation, but also for God's intervention, the one who rules the rulers. And the Bible says our prayers ought to be based on the fact that we would have freedom to be Christians, to live the Christian life. This is not political. This is missional. This is a mission of the church, that we would be able to live this quiet and peaceable life. And the idea there, quiet and peaceable, is not to be passive or silent, but that we would live a life free from persecution, from social upheaval, and that we would be able to the children of God. We notice also Pharaoh's resistance in verse number 2. I'm not sure if we got this far a couple of weeks ago, but Exodus chapter 5 and verse number 2, it says, "And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to go to let Israel go? I know not the Lord," L-O-R-D, Jehovah, God, "I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Now, notice in this passage of Scripture that this is not a question of inquiry. He's not asking the question for more information so he can make a decision. This is a question of defiance. And when we are talking to people about the Lord, a question may arise within the conversations that we have. And I have learned over the years that not every question that people ask are questions of inquiry. Not every question that people ask, they're looking for more information. They're willing and wanting to learn. Sometimes questions are asked where they're not looking for information. They're looking for an argument. And their question is what the Bible calls a foolish question. And the Scriptures teach us, Paul told Timothy, a preacher in Ephesus, he said, "Avoid foolish questions because they just gender strife." And we need the discernment when we're talking to people about the Lord, and also talking about talking to people in life. We need the discernment to know, is this truly a question of someone seeking for truth, or is this just a trap? Is this just a question, a foolish question looking for an argument? And so this is not a question that Pharaoh is asking for information. He's asking this question in defiance. And there's a couple of things that Pharaoh rejects here. First of all, he rejects God's identity. Look what he says. He says, "Who is the Lord?" And so we notice he refuses here. He refuses the identity, the Lord Jehovah, the one true God is the idea. Remember, Egypt was a nation of many gods. And so he is rejecting the one true God, Jehovah God. And so he says, "Who is the Lord?" He rejects God's authority. Also, he rejects God's identity. He rejects God's authority. He says that I may obey his voice. And then he also rejects God's command in this verse, "Neither will I let Israel go." And so we notice this inquiry, this questioning here of Pharaoh is really a heart of rebellion that we see in his life. He says, I do not know your God, and I do not intend to obey what he has to say, is what Pharaoh was saying. You know, I just think that when we look at the life of Pharaoh here, who is a rejecter of the true God, I don't think we should be shocked, and I think many times we are, I don't think we should be shocked when unbelievers act like unbelievers. You know, I think that we have to understand that they don't know the Lord. And when an unbeliever talks like an unbeliever, when an unbeliever mocks the true God, when an unbeliever takes God's name in vain, I mean, that doesn't shock me when that happens. It kind of shocks me when a Christian acts this particular way. And so Pharaoh, he doesn't claim to know God, and he's not interested in knowing God. And so he is rejecting God. This is a heart of rebellion in the heart of Pharaoh. Look what the Bible says, Psalm 14, verse 1. It says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." And the expression there is the foolish man or the fool has said in his heart, "No God, no God for me. No God will be my authority. I will live my life. I will do it my way. And God will not tell me what to do." And the Bible says the fool has said this in his heart. This is a heart of rebellion. I think Romans 1 is a great illustration of this. It's the perspective of a person, a people, a nation, a society. It is a people who had knowledge of God. Romans 1, read it. They have knowledge of God, but they did not accept him as their authority in their life. And so the Bible says that in the hardness of their heart, God gave them up after the vainness of their wicked heart. He gave them over to a reprobate mind, a reprobate heart, the Bible says. And this is what's happening in the life of Pharaoh here. He is rebelling against the true God and God's authority. So let's notice the purpose here, God's purpose in all of this in verse number 3. It says, "And they said, the God of the Hebrews had met with us. Let us pray, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." Now, again, it's clear in this passage of Scripture that this is God's purposes for them, not their own purposes. This was not their plan. This was not their direction. This is not what they wanted to do. This was God that was leading them. And he's saying in this scripture here that God has met with us, and they stand before Pharaoh, and they say, God has called us to worship him. And then they say, if we don't obey God, if we don't do what God tells us to do, then we will face the consequences of that disobedience. And we have to be reminded that disobedience always has consequences. You know, the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Anytime we turn away from God, anytime we disobey God, there will always be consequences to the crop that we plant. It will eventually grow. And someone has said this, that sin always has a wake behind it. You know how you throw a rock and you see the ripples in the water? And I think that's a great illustration of the effects of our actions in our life. There's consequences for the decisions that we make. And so we see here that this was God's purposes, and we see their desire was to obey God. Even in great persecution, even in bondage, they still wanted to obey what God had to say. Notice Pharaoh's perspective here in verse number 4. It says, and the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens? Basically, what he's saying is, go back to your work. You know, who do you think you are to tell me to let these people go, to free these people? You get back to your work. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. Now, the perspective of Pharaoh in all of this was that he saw worship to God as nothing more than laziness. He saw worshiping God as nothing more than wasted time. Why are you here? Why are you telling me this? Why are you taking them away from their work? This is a waste of my time, and you are wasting their time. They have a job to do. And so Pharaoh looked at worship as just wasted time in the Hebrews' life. And I hope that isn't how you look at worship today. I hope that you see worship as essential in your life and important in your life. I know that many don't see things the way that God sees things in this life. I know the world doesn't see things the way that God sees things in this life. And we notice that Pharaoh, he refers to Israel here, not as people, not as families, but they're just workers. They're just workers. Someone has said this is the worldview of oppression. People exist to serve the system. The world values output. God values people. And God was interested in the souls of people. And I think to our world today, we are just customers or percentages or statistics or, you know, we're just buyers, stats. The reality is to God, we're eternal souls that God loves. Jesus loves me, this I know. And he gave his life for us. And so Pharaoh was like, listen, these workers cannot be freed from their burdens. They have work to do. And he also includes in our text here, notice this, he also includes Moses and Aaron as well. You return to the work. You return to your burdens. Now notice what the Bible says in verse number 5. It says, and Pharaoh said, behold, in verse number 5, he says, and Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. Now, this is an important truth here because in verse number 5, we notice Pharaoh's heart here. And really, the fear that's leading this conversation is the rest that they would have, the opportunity that they would have to find that rest and that worship so that they would find hope. And what Pharaoh is concerned about here in this scripture, as we already know that the people have grown in numbers, they had been strengthened. He was concerned, of course, that if they were to join another military might, that they could overthrow Egypt. Egypt was the strongest military power at that particular time, but Israel were gaining in numbers, and he was concerned about that. And he was also concerned, as we look deep into the text here, he was afraid that if they were to have rest, then they would have hope, and if they would have hope, then that would be used against them. And so it really wasn't about work. It was about keeping them from worship and keeping them from having hope in their God and resting in their God and trusting in their God. And so this was of course, a big part of why Pharaoh was concerned and why Pharaoh refused to let the people worship. We notice a cruel response in verse number 6. Look what the Bible says. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, in verse number 7, it says, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as theretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. Now, this is interesting. Pharaoh, of course, doesn't delay. He doesn't take time to reflect. He doesn't take any time to think about his response. There's no hesitation whatsoever. And he immediately responds of what he's going to do. And we see that it really reveals how threatened he is by this opportunity for the Hebrews to worship God. And so what Pharaoh does is he removes the necessary resources. He takes away the straw that they need to make bricks, but he keeps the demand, the same expectations. And so straw was essential for brick making in Bible days. By withholding it, Pharaoh makes obedience to God seem costly. It seems unreasonable to worship God. And sometimes the devil can do this in our own life. He can make trusting God look foolish. He can make trusting God look silly. And this is what Pharaoh is doing among the Hebrews. Someone said Satan can inflate the cost of obedience in our lives. You know, in the ancient world, especially in Egypt, bricks were made from mud or from clay. They were made from water and from straw. They were just chopped up plant fiber, and it was used like rebar in concrete. It would hold the brick together. It was essential to have this straw. And so to Pharaoh, this was a calculated cruelty. I mean, he knew exactly what he was doing. Basically, what he was telling the Hebrews is, now you're going to work harder and you're going to have the same demand upon you. It was an unreasonable request for him to say this. And often the enemy increases pressure to make obedience seem impossible. Look what the Bible says in verse number 8. It says, and the tale of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them, and ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, go, let us go and sacrifice to our God. And so he's saying here, you're going to work harder. You're going to have less resources to get the job done. This is an impossible task. The quota is going to remain the same. And so Pharaoh labels Israel's desire to worship God as laziness. Because of this laziness in your heart, he said, this will be the punishment that you will have. And I just think that as we look at our world today and how our world looks at God, how they look at church, how they look at worship, you know, they look at it from a perspective that obviously isn't biblical. You know, how many times have people said to me, well, you know, your devotion to God, or, you know, your religion is just a crutch that you have in your life. One person said this, organized religion is a sham and a crutch for weak-minded people who need strength in numbers. And I believe, obviously, God is a crutch to me. I mean, he raised me from the dead, and he is my strength day by day. And obviously, he is my support and the foundation of my life. But the world, when they look at God, when they look at worship, when they look at church, this is their perspective. The same as Pharaoh, they would say, you going to church on a Wednesday night, what a waste of time. There are many things that you could do. They would say, get your priorities right. This is how the world looks at God, at church, at worship. Matthew chapter 26, verse 8. Can we turn there in our Bibles? Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 8. We know the story in this passage of Scripture, the woman who had an expensive perfume and she used it on the Lord. This ointment was very costly. And the Bible says in verse number 8 of Matthew chapter 26, it says, and when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? This perfume that was used in worship to the Lord, the disciples, and I would say specifically Judas, they saw this as a waste. And they said, why wasn't this sold for much? Why wasn't this taken and sold and the money given to the poor people? And the Bible says in verse number 10, the Bible says, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. Now you notice the difference in perspective there. Jesus saw it as worship. The disciples saw it as waste. Others look at the Christian life. Others look at church. Others look at worship. And they don't have the same perspective as a child of God ought to have. And we notice in this passage of Scripture that Pharaoh saw worship to the true God as nothing more than laziness. You know, our world calls biblical preaching, they call it foolishness. To a spiritual Christian, it's food. They want to be fed by the Word of God. The Bible says it this way. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, For the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And there's the perspective there of the world and the Christian. To the Christian, it is the power to change our lives, the Word of God. To the world, it is foolishness. We see a false accusation in verse number 9. The Bible says in verse 9, let their more work be laid upon the men, and they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. Now, we notice here that in verse 9, there's increased work. In verse number 9, there's increased responsibilities. And the punishment here is that they would not listen to vain words. Vain meaning empty words. And Pharaoh's view of the words of God, thus saith the Lord. Remember, we laid it out. Thus saith the Lord. This is what God said. Pharaoh's perspective of the word of God was vain. It's empty. Meaningless words, he says. And this is interesting. We talk about principle. He says, this is how I'm going to keep them from listening to vain words. He says, I'm going to keep them busy. And so he gives them more work to do. I'm going to keep them really busy so that they don't have time to listen to this empty talk. Someone said this, one of the enemy's most effective tools is not temptation, they said, but it's distraction. And Satan often distracts us with even good things that we miss out on the best things. And so we note here that busyness becomes a weapon to Pharaoh as he keeps the Hebrews busy and he divides them up. And we notice these oppressive orders that's found in verse number 10. The Bible says this, and the taskmasters of the people went out and their officers, and they spake to the people saying, look at this. Now this is the difference here. Thus saith Pharaoh. Now notice in our text here, Moses said what? Thus saith the Lord. And now their message is, thus saith Pharaoh. Two voices, two authorities, and two kingdoms. Remember, Egypt is a picture of the world in the Bible. It's important for us to know. And Pharaoh's words now filter down through taskmasters, increasing the weight upon the people, the Hebrews. And every believer, of course, must decide in their life whose voice carries the final authority. Whose voice? Thus saith the Lord, or thus saith the world? You know, we are bombarded with opinions every day. Every day we have voices. I read a statistic, and I don't know how accurate it is, but they suggest that this is, of course, a suggestion. They said that we receive 5,000 to 10,000 persuasive messages or opinions a day. That's a lot of messages, but I mean, think about the ads that you read, or the ads on the radio, or the ads on television, and someone's trying to constantly convince you to do something. They're constantly trying to get you to change something, to believe something, to join something, to buy something. We're constantly bombarded with opinions and ideologies. And again, I don't know how accurate 5,000 to 10,000 persuasive messages are, but I do know this, that we are constantly being told to follow a particular direction. And I think life comes down to these two voices, these two authorities. Thus saith Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord. And we have to make a choice in our life. Can we go to the book of Romans and we'll conclude here. Romans chapter 3. And look what the Bible says in verse 4. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4. Romans 3 verse 4. Now Paul makes a pretty clear and he makes a pretty bold statement here in verse 4. He says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, thou mightest be justified in the sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Now, what Paul is not saying is that every man is, every message that you hear is an automatic lie. He's not saying that every man is automatically a liar. But what he is saying is that when an opinion is brought forth and it is contrary to God's truth, then God's authority always wins. That's what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, let every man be a liar. When it is between the word of Pharaoh and the word of God, when it's thus saith the Lord or thus saith Pharaoh, it is always thus saith the Lord. Every man a liar. Let God be true. That's the message that Paul is saying, that God should be obeyed in our life. And I think there's one more important thing, because Exodus chapter 5, verses 6 and 10, it teaches us something very vital that I just don't think we can miss. And I'll close with this thought, is that the first response to obedience, when we obey God, our first response or the first outcome of our obedience is not always deliverance. Sometimes it's resistance. Because we think that if we just obey God, everything's going to be okay. We think that if we obey God, everything will be great. Everyone will agree with me and everything will be wonderful. But that's not always the case. You see, Moses said we must obey God. If we don't obey God, then we will fall under his consequences. But it wasn't Pharaoh saying, all right, you win. Go ahead, obey God. No, they were met with resistance to what God had to say. My brother-in-law in Senegal, West Africa, he says that when a Christian decides, when they finally decide to obey God in baptism, and he said it's so difficult, he said, for people to be scripturally baptized in Senegal. He says it's so hard. But when they first decide that they're going to obey God and they're going to be baptized, he said it's such a decision for them, because in the moment that they obey God and are baptized, they can count on this. Their entire family will turn their back on them. That they will be all alone from that moment forward. He said they can count on being isolated. Sometimes they're taken, if they're young enough, they could be taken and they could be beaten. And even killed for obeying God. You see, their obedience to the Lord is often not met with a happy outcome. It's met with resistance. But it's always right to obey God. And we see this in the life of Moses and Aaron. Thus saith the Lord. I'll leave you with this thought. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith Moses. Thus saith Pharaoh. Excuse me. What voice has your attention today? All right. Let's look at our prayer list here. And just a couple of new prayer requests this evening. And we'll take some time and